Six defensive backs. Collins playing up front. It's Foles to the air. Intercepted by the aforementioned Collins. You can kiss him goodbye. Touchdown. Pick six.
Well, that was last week as the New York Giants clinch a spot in the playoffs, beating up the Indianapolis Colts. I think it was 38-10.
Yeah.
Something like that. And our next guest is certainly somebody able to discuss that and more.
Yeah. Tom Rock, who covered the Giants for a long time for Newsday, now is Newsday's NFL columnist. Tom, thanks for joining us, man.
What's up, fellas? How you doing? All right?
Everything is everything, man. So are the Giants playing their starters tomorrow? And if so, for how long? And what's going on here?
Yeah, that's the $2,007 question, right? Because, every other team has to face this situation. The Giants are in a different predicament because of what happened in 2007, and that certainly weighs heavy on any decision that they make in this regard. And of course, I'm talking about Tom Coughlin playing his starters in a meaningless game against the unbeaten Patriots, and it's sort of sparking them all the way to the Super Bowl title a month later. I don't think that that's going to, necessarily sway Brian Daboll, but it's certainly a big part of the discussion here in New York.
There is also a more recent incident, which just happened 2 years ago, which involved the Eagles kind of tanking their last game of the year, and Joe Judge, Philadelphia's finest, slamming the Eagles for a lack of ethics doing that. I don't know that that plays into it, but if you had to put it on a 1 to 10, 10 being Tyrod Taylor gets the start, what do you think?
I would say 7. I think that Daniel Jones will start. I think Saquon Barkley will start. I think that Saquon Barkley will be out of the game very quickly. And if it is still a one-score game at halftime and the competitive juices start to pump through Brian Daboll's heart, then he will stick with Daniel Jones and everybody else that's on the field other than Saquon Barkley and try and win the darn thing.
Tom, you've been around NFL teams and locker rooms for a long time. Is the idea that the Giants could really damage a rival in the Eagles any kind of motivating factor here?
I don't think so. No, I don't sense that from these guys. I think there are some things at play regarding the Eagles. I think that they're still a little embarrassed by the last time they played. That was sort of the only game this season that they really had it handed to them. It opened their eyes, I think, to just how far off they are from the top parts of the league. Every other game has pretty much been a one-score game. They were head-to-head with the Cowboys a couple of times. The Vikings, they lost on a 61-yard field goal as time expired. So that Eagles game sticks with them. I think there's a lot of players who wish they could have that back. I'm thinking of Julian Love in particular. I think if you could say that there's one play that he would want to do over this season, it would be that one touchdown that he allowed that he sort of misplayed and really could have lit him up there and instead wound up going for a fourth down touchdown. So I think that there are a lot of elements there in that regard, but in terms of dealing some kind of a blow to the Eagles for their playoffs, that helps the Cowboys. Why would they want to do that? So it's sort of is the friend of my is the enemy of my enemy my friend or however that phrase goes.
That's very heavy. Thank you for bringing the Godfather into it. Tom Rock is our guest. You can follow Tom on Twitter at @TomRock_Newsday. So, Tom, let's talk a little bit about Brian Daboll and what he has meant for a team that has been so unstable in coach and general manager for the last few years. What are the, two or three things that he has really meant, that he's really done to turn that team around?
Well, I think when you watch them in practice, they definitely lead the league in fist bumps, bro hugs, and chest bumps. they are a tight-knit group. And we say that about a lot of teams. A lot of teams bring that up. We're a family, we're a brotherhood. These guys really are tight, and they really do love each other. I'm thinking of the moment when they beat Washington a couple of weeks ago. We were and you guys have been in that visiting media room there. And
yes.
There's a hallway between the interview room and the locker room. And Dable was coming one way and Jones was coming the other way. And right in the middle of that hallway, they kind of hugged and they both said, "I love you, man. I love you." And you know, there's just a genuineness to that. The other thing I would say is the level of competition that they have. I mean, they have a ping pong they have two ping pong tables in the locker room. And yesterday, when we were there, they had two-on-two matches going on, and they're just competing against each other at all times. Going back to training camp, Brian Dable would have them would stop practice and have all of a sudden somebody from the offense call a play and somebody from the defense call a play, and they would just compete against each other mm-hmm. like that. Mm. They stop their meetings sometimes, and they turn on Madden video games, and they give one player from offense and one player from defense control of the Giants, and off they go, and they have to play a quarter or a drive or a game or, you know, however long they have to do it. So I think the relationships that he's built, they're genuine, they're authentic, and the competition that he's tapped into with these guys, I think really has set them on this course towards this pretty remarkable turnaround season.
How much of the turnaround is due to Daniel Jones, and are the Giants going to commit to him, do you think, as their franchise quarterback?
Yeah, that's the big question for the next couple of months here. You know, I think the last two games he's been outstanding. I think there have been, for most of the season though, they were a one touchdown a game team, a one touchdown a game offense. And you think about Brian Dable, you think about Mike Kafka and where they came from, Buffalo and Kansas City. They're not used to that. So I think that there's part of them that still thinks that they can do a little better than Daniel Jones.
Ooh.
And they're going to have to come to grips with that this offseason
yeah.
and decide. It's obviously they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on him. So if they franchise tag him, then you're looking at about $30 million a year. And so that's sort of the starting point for negotiating with him, I would think. So that's pretty steep territory. Now, of course, he wins a couple more games this month, and who knows what happens. But right now, my guess is that they give sort of a short-term commitment to him. I would say 2 years, maybe three, with option for a third or something like that, just to kind of see, make sure that this trajectory is true and keeps going up, because they can't live in a world where they score 18 points a game. They need to be up higher to compete in the NFL and to compete among the elites in the NFL, especially in this day and age when you see all the points that are going up every week.
Hey, Tom, let me ask you about something that happened last week that we saw, the country saw, which was Kayvon Thibodeau had his fourth sack of the year, and in doing so, it broke the ribs of Nick Foles, and Foles is writhing on the ground in pain. And Thibodeau is next to him doing snow angels. I thought it looked pretty sleazy. Was there any sense from Thibodeau or anybody else on the team that what he did was wrong? Was there any remorse? Was there any apology?
No, and I think that's the part that bothered me a little bit, was that in the moment you say, okay, I didn't realize the guy was hurt, and you take his word for it, and you say, okay, that's genuine, and, he's a little, he's very caught up in the moment, obviously, and he's not looking around. He's obviously staring straight up because he's doing those stupid snow angels, right? His hand is practically brushing up against Foles, which made it for an ugly scene. But you say, okay, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say he didn't know at the time. But then he comes back and he sort of doubles down on it. He's like, I don't care what other people say. I don't care what other people think. And that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But he's a young kid. He's got some growing up to do, and I think he's going to be a really special player for them. But he's also got to learn how to control those things. And there are people that have been in his ear with that regard. Michael Strahan was out of practice this week talking to him a little bit.
Mm.
I'm sure that topic came up, and I know Saquon Barkley overheard some of the things he was saying in the locker room this week and sort of had a little bit of a raised eyebrow. And, as a captain, Saquon's the most powerful voice in that locker room right now. And so my sense was that he would approach him and talked to him a little bit about how best to handle those situations.
Well, it's funny, Tom. It's funny around here that's become such a big deal. I think most people thought that Nick Foles would just lay hands on his own ribs and heal them himself based on what he did, you know, back in 2018.
You know, the funny thing is that Wink Martindale, you know, we asked Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, about it, and he said, you know, that those things kind of happen when you leave two rushers unblocked. So he kind of put it on the Colts for not scheming it up a little bit better.
Right.
I was very surprised, by the way, that the Colts offensive lineman let them get away with that. But
yes, as was Jeff Saturday, who called his own players to task. One or two more questions. Obviously, the whole league this week was focused on what happened in Cincinnati. And you wrote a column this week, kind of thing where everywhere you turn in the Giants facility, there was somebody with a direct connection to Hamlin. Talk a little bit about how, because we know how it impacted Eagles players. Miles Sanders was a friend of his. How did it impact the Giants overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a very hard day, you know. Brian Daboll was the coach up there for 4 years. He was there last year, obviously, when DeMar was a rookie when he was drafted. Joe Shane, the general manager, he was part of the front office that drafted him. There's a couple of players that were with him last year. There's a couple of players that were with him this season. Isaiah Hodgins, who was claimed off waivers from the Bills, they were on the practice squad together. Davis Webb, the third string quarterback, he used to be a safety on the scout team with DeMar. So, just about, you know, there's probably about 10 or 12 guys, players in that locker room that had a direct connection to him. Some played at Pitt with him. Jason Pinnock played at Pitt with him. So they all knew him, and they were shaken. I have never seen a sadder, more down, more heavy practice than the one on Wednesday, when it was their first day back and they still weren't quite sure what was going on. And then by contrast, the spirit on Thursday when the good news started to come out and we started to hear the great reports out of Cincinnati Medical Center, what a difference that 24 hours made for this team. And it just lifted everybody's spirits, and everybody was happy, and they were back to dancing and fooling around and having a fun time at practice. So I think that having that weight off of the shoulders of basically everyone in the league, but particularly those like Miles and like the Giants who knew him well, I think that's going to go a long way toward making this weekend a lot more palatable and a lot easier to get through than obviously it could have been.
Tom, last one for me. Is this season for the Giants considered a success already, or if they get bounced in the wild card round, you know, will it be unmet expectations, or it could have been something more than it turned out to be?
Yeah, I think it's a success already. I think that getting to the playoffs, getting back to the playoffs for the first time since 2016, with the roster that they had, with the resources that they were limited with in the off season, that they couldn't really go out and make big splurges in free agency, and they only had the draft picks, and they had to mop up. You know, this season was supposed to be about cleaning up the mess that was left behind and figuring out which pieces they wanted to keep moving forward. And I'm talking, of course, about Saquon and Daniel in particular. And so they were able to do that. They were in pretty good shape next year. They got a lot of space under the cap. They got, you know, their draft picks. They didn't tap into their future resources to make a trade. They didn't commit to people for contracts down the road. I'm talking about Odell. And they found they have a pretty good idea now of what they have in their quarterback and their running back. So you throw in the playoff berth and the chance to create some buzz and excitement around here, and the feeling that was at the stadium on last Sunday when they clinched that spot, and we've been in that stadium so often where people are, you know, at the end of the game, everybody's chanting "Fly Eagles, fly," or, you know, Dallas Cowboys fans have taken it over, and this was a chance for the Giants to really celebrate the return. And I think that they feel like they have all the infrastructure in place, the foundation to keep building on it. Whatever they do after Sunday, I think is gravy.
All right, last question, two-parter. Do you have a vote, and who is this year's MVP?
That's a good question. I don't have a vote.
Okay.
But I haven't really thought too much about it. If he hadn't been held to one catch last week, I would probably say Justin Jefferson, right? I think you look at sometimes you got to go with the obvious. I think you look at what Mahomes has done all season. Mm.
Incorrect.
I think.
Try again.
Okay. What, you want me to say Jalen Hurts?
There you go. Tom Rock, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Follow him on Twitter at @TomRock_Newsday. Our pleasure, man. Thanks.
Tommy, thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there you go. Good. Well, we got him there.
Yeah, we did. We did. We got him. We led the horse to water, and we shoved his face into it.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually drank.